Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody, and, you know, we're hanging out. It is November now. This is the first episode of November. I'd like to welcome you to something a couple people have asked me about, and I'm taking it what they wanted to do, and they talked about, and I'm going to throw a little bit of Cody spin on it. So they wanted to talk about, a couple people asked me to talk about some of my favorite animated shows, mostly cartoons I grew up watching, and so I'm going to do that, but I chose a bunch of cartoons that have awesome toys that went with them, and so you can probably guess of a couple right off the top of your head, and I will get to those. The two main ones that most people are probably thinking about, which are G.I. Joe and Transformers. I will be talking about those later this month, because I want to watch a couple things. One is I want to watch the Transformers movie again, because I love that movie. But today I'm going to talk about one of my favorites that a lot of you, a lot of people who are my age, probably watched as well. It's had some of the toys, and they were really cool. And is later on, this brand still exists, but only in comic book form. But it's been rolled into a couple other things. But what I'm talking about today is MASK. That's MASK. It's an acronym. It's M.A.S. Whatever, you know, get it. MASK. It's acronym. And it stands for Mobile Armored Strike Command. I know command usually starts with a C, but they really wanted MASK to be the name, so they made it with K, command with a K. They could have easily done it with a C. It would have been MASK still, but whatever. People probably would have been like, I'm confused. It's not MASK. Anyways, so I'm not going to break down the history of the toys that I'm going to be talking about in the show and the things. I'm just talking about the shows themselves. And the toys, and a couple of the toys that I had, and a couple of toys I wanted really badly, on each of these. So the MASK was a television show made by a French American company called DIC Enterprises Inc. And the toys were made by Kenner Products. Kenner, for the few folks out there who don't know what Kenner's made, Kenner is extremely heavy on the franchising making of licensed toys. They did a shit ton of the Batman stuff for the different movies. They did them for the Batman animated series. They've done a couple versions of G.I. Joe, or actually one version of G.I. Joe, I think. They did toys for one of my favorite Tim Burton movies, Beetlejuice. They did Keanu Reeves' best franchise so far, which is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They did a Chuck Norris line. They did another one I'm going to talk about later this week called Centurions, which I will talk more about then. But they did a ton of different licensed toys for different movies, different franchises. They were the creator of Play-Doh, which is pretty cool. So anyways, that's Kenner. DIC Entertainment, which unfortunately has a very unfortunate, if you say the letters DIC, put them next to each other, they spell a name. And, they came out with they had a bunch of different stuff they did, a bunch of different production stuff. And they were known, as the Incredible World of DIC, which unfortunately when the logo was made is the Incredible World of Dick, because they didn't stylize the DIC like their logo normally does. Normally it's a capital D, lowercase I, and a capital C, which still is Dick. But they, unfortunately, I don't know who's marketing, and they're French American, so it was a little different. But unfortunately, they went by the title, the Incredible World of Dick. And then they went by Dick Audiovisual, Dick Enterprises, Dick Animation City, and of course Dick Productions and Dick Entertainment. So fun little oopsie daisy. And actually, if you Google The Incredible World of DIC, you will find they had a corporate office in California, in Burbank. And on the front of the building, it was literally big gold letters that we've lit up that said The Incredible World of Dick right off the streets. Not the best marketing in the world. But anyhow, that's enough about Dick. Mask. So Mask, for the people who don't know, has had a... this is the story. So Mask, or Mobile Armored Strike Command, is a special task force led by Matt Tracker, who operates who operate transforming armored vehicles in their ongoing battle against the criminal organization Venom, or the vicious evil network of mayhem. Again, terrific marketing. At least they didn't have to spell any of those the wrong way. But man, they must have been in a room trying to get Venom to be words, and it must man, a lot of drinking probably went on then. But anyways, so the Venom. With an emphasis on super-powered masks worn by the characters on both factions. So Venom's primary goal was obtaining money through either robbery, extortion, counterfeiting, and kidnapping, and attempting to steal historical artifacts. So that's basically... that's really all of them. That was the basis of the whole show. What made the toys really cool, for a couple things. One is they were, in a way, they were Transformers. They're like a mix between Transformers and G.I. Joe. So the vehicles were regular vehicles. Like Matt Tracker drove a Camaro, and it turned into a gull-winged fighter jet, and he wore a mask called Spectrum. So everybody had a mask that they wore, and many cases, all of them wore different masks and different variations of the mask. And then they had different vehicles, and they had the different masks to go along with them. That was pretty cool too, through the four different series of toys they ran through. So a little breakdown on the show. So the show was only two seasons long, but this is back in the day when they could mass produce cartoons. They could do it now, but they actually take their time and actually make really well animated. And sometimes a lot of these shows were not well animated for the most part. They reused a lot of stuff, but they made 75 episodes of the show, and then later released a bunch of them, edited into two movies called Mask the Movie and Mask the Movie 2. But they were just different episodes from the season that were tied together into a long, continuous movie. Movies, I should say. But so they did a lot of them. I mean, 75 episodes is a lot of episodes, no matter who you are. And they were 21, 22 minutes long, whatever the cartoons were. Way back in the day, but they like I said, they mass produced these things. They were released literally one a day, for like, I want to say, a few months at a time. So you could literally watch a new episode every single day. So 5 days a week, you could watch an episode. So, basically premiering on September 30th, 1985. When I was the ripe age of four, this came out, and literally every week you could watch five new brand new episodes every day, until they literally went back to back all the way to the December of 1985, and then a year later started up in September again, and they ran all the way through to the last 10 episodes of season two. Which is a couple weeks later. So they went from the first season being 65 episodes 5 days a week to being one episode a week for 10 weeks. So you can see the difference in how much they fucking just poured through the animation on these things. But pretty fun show. Just like any of them, it's just like G.I. Joe for the most part. It's, you know, good guys and bad guys, and they shoot each other, and no one really dies. The the history of it started with the toys in the television show, and then later into comic books. There was even a video game that was released, which was essentially terrible, but pretty cool thing. And not too long ago, a couple years ago, it was actually Hasbro and Paramount. Hasbro, who bought Kenner many moons ago and gobbled up all their franchises and stuff like that. They wanted to do a live action mask show along the lines of G.I. Joe, but they have they wanted to build this. So after the mild success of the G.I. Joe movies, which I won't even go into my rant about those, they decided in 2015 that Hasbro and Paramount would come together and make a shared cinematic universe with a bunch of the different franchises that they own, which is Mask, G.I. Joe, Micronauts, Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light, and Rom. Rom is a giant space robot. Anyways, or Space Knight, I think is actually what they call him. But we haven't really seen too much about that just yet. But it's fairly new. It's only 3 years, and it's a lot of planning to do. Anyways, that's a pretty fun one that's out there too. But so the show was basically all about Matt Tracker and his son. Matt Tracker is the billionaire. Is he a billionaire or a millionaire? I can't remember what they actually describe him as. Multimillionaire and businessman who basically created the mask team along with his teenage brother Andy and Miles Mayhem. Miles Mayhem double crosses Matt and causes Andy's death when he steals some of the masks for his newly formed group or unit called Venom. In the animated series, it was changed to be a lot more fantastical, and I think the original Origins is still a comic book Origins where Miles Mayhem was a partner of Andy and Matt, but I could be wrong about that. But in the animated series, Andy is actually Matt's father, who had saved the life of a tribesman who had attempted to come to Andy's aid after his plane crashed in New Guinea. For his bravery and kindness, Andy was given a stone that was later used to power the masks. In 2008. I think right around the time Kenner was fully absorbed by Hasbro, Hasbro introduced the mask line into the G.I. Joe realm as another faction, and a specialist tracker action figure was released for the Joe toy line, and his technology and stealth expertise for the Joe team. And then Venom was a branch of Cobra Command, who was obviously the... We'll get into that when you do the G.I. Joe episode. But it's very interesting that those two were linked. It's very interesting. But otherwise, I don't think they're ever linked in the comics or anything like that, other than being a shared universe. But I don't read those comics. So I can't tell you. I should probably tell you. It's probably in one of these pages I have pulled up here. One part they did cross... I mean, they're a shared universe. I don't know if they actually ever were said to be... parts of G.I. Joe or not, but I do know that they were they're in that same realm, same area. That's the kind of the gist of that. The toys were the coolest. So the four series of toys, there's four series of toys released in the 2 years that the show aired. Technically there was four series of toys, a fifth one, which is like an add-on pack one, but they ran for 4 years, 2 years during the show, and then 2 years after the show when they released the other ones. But they were awesome toys. They were roughly about the size of G.I. Joe's. They did not have all the articulation that G.I. Joe had. Matter of fact, I think the mask figures were smaller than G.I. Joe, because I don't think G.I. Joe figures could fit in the mask vehicles, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time since I played with them, a long time since I've actually seen them anywhere too, because at the time I knew a lot of people who had them, but they did not last. I mean, they were out for 4 years in the mid 80s, so They weren't. But if toy collectors definitely have these somewhere, and because they're pretty awesome. But I'll give you an example of a couple of the ones that Matt had. He was referred to as Hunter or Cowboy. He had a couple different vehicles. He had seven different vehicles? Yeah, seven different vehicles. His main one was his original one was Thunderhawk. His original mask was Spectrum. Like I said earlier, it was a red Chevrolet Camaro, which could transform into a Gullwing fighter jet. His mask, Spectrum, had contained multiple capabilities, which was different than a lot of the other ones because he was the leader, so he had to have a cooler one. And all of those abilities, he could fire a deafening sound wave. He could free fall flight for a little bit with it. He could fire a laser out of it, and it allowed him to see in different visual spectrums, hence the name Spectrum. He then later, he also had a vehicle that was called Rhino, and he had a mask called Ultra Flash. And basically, the Rhino is the semi tractor trailer that was like a mobile defense platform in Command Center. Command spelled this time with a C, so you know it's not part of the mask. It's so dumb. Anyways, and it first showed up in the very first episode. The Ultra Flash mask fires a blinding blast of energy and blinds your opponents and distracts and whatever. And then he had, as part of the adventure packs, he had two different vehicles. They were personalized vehicles. There's the Jungle Challenge and Coast Patrol, where he had an assault jump jetpack and an armored rescue raft. And he had two different masks. Then he had Arrow, which allows him to fire acidic bolts and shoots thunderbolts. I'm reading the list here. And then he had Dolphin, which is part of the Coastal Patrol, which is the mask controls water and emits sonic signals, hence the name Dolphin. They're pretty self-explanatory. Then later on in Season 2, he had a new vehicle, which is one of my favorite vehicles, Volcano. And he then also had Lava Shot, which is the name of the mask. So a blue monster truck van... monster truck van that converts into an attack station, and then the lava shot mask fires blobs of molten metal, and that was later added into the second part of Season 1, I believe, but that was Series 2. And then he had Goliath 1 and a mask called Shroud, a blue and yellow F1 race car that launches from Goliath 2 and becomes a fighter jet. So Goliath 2, which I did not bring up part of his, because Goliath 2 isn't actually one of his vehicles. Goliath 2 is actually part of Nevada Rushmore, or Chief Nevada Rushmore, who is a Native American and Matt Tracker's childhood friend, who debuted in Season 2 as an expanded team member. They did that with three different people. So Goliath 2 is a flatbed truck which turns into command station. It kind of took place Matt's Volcano, or not Volcano, but a Rhino, and is a combo vehicle. And then it serves as the launching platform for Goliath 1, which is the racing vehicle. Because in the second season, they introduced a bunch of vehicles that were race cars, race car type things. Right? There's motorcycles in there as well, which is pretty cool. Really, really fucking cool, actually. But yeah, so that was that one. So it was like a combo one. And then the last one that Matt had was Skybolt, which was his newest thing with the new mask. New Spectrum, so a fighter jet plane that splits into an assault rocket car and an aerial attack craft. He accompanies this with a new mask called New Spectrum, which creates a holographic double. So never really done in the second season of the show, I don't think, but in the fourth series of toys, they come with this thing called Split Seconds. And basically all the vehicles split into two parts, two separate vehicles, and then a holographic version of the person for that vehicle was made to go in the secondary vehicle. Again, they never did it in the show, you never really saw it. The series 1, 2, 3, and the action packs were all part of seasons 1 and 2. Series 4 were just a grab at and just making a bunch of shit. Probably stuff that was planned for like a third season, but I don't know if that actually was a thing or not. I never heard anything about it. I could probably research and find it, but I'm not going to. But they were pretty cool. And I had a couple of these ones. I know my brother and I had Skybolt, and we had Miles Mayhem's Wolf Beast in his new mask, Viper. And that was a Corvette Stingray that splits into a tank and a jet plane. And then, of course, the new Viper, which projects a holographic clone of Miles Mayhem or Miles Wolf Mayhem. We had that one. We had both of those. We might have had some of the other ones too, but they were pretty cool. There was a ton of mask members. Matt had a son, Scott, that he raised as a single parent. Empowerment for men, apparently. And I don't remember what they even said about his mom. She might have died sometime, obviously, after Scott was born. Scott was being developed to be a special character for the most part. He was obviously the teenage son. Actually, I don't think he was a teenager. He was like maybe his early teens. I don't know. He had great mechanical skills, and he built a robot companion named T-Bob. And T-Bob, who was, I had them too. I had Scott and T-Bob as well. And what made them cool is T-Bob is this little cylindrical, like almost R2-D2 looking robot that turned into a single wheel scooter. His arms popped out, and Scott would hold on to his arms and ride him as a one wheeled scooter. Later on, he was something else. I can't remember the name T-Bob, according to a later on comic book. The name T-Bob was short for Thingamabob, which is Thingamabob, so Bob and T. I don't know if that's actually true or what they did, but that's what they called him. I was thinking T-Bob because their last name is Tracker, but I don't know, whatever that was. He had that one. Then there was a bunch of different people who there was you had all sorts of vehicles. There was a Jeep, there was a Porsche, a couple motorcycles. These are all the mask guys. There was the monster truck, there was a 1957 Chevrolet. There was all sorts of like trucks and pickups. Then on the Venom side, besides Wolf Beast, which was the later Corvette Stingray, was Miles's main vehicle for pretty much all of season one and mostly of season two, if I'm not mistaken. When he wasn't driving around a car, because again, racing stuff, was a helicopter that transformed him into a jet plane, so he could get away real fast. And of course, his helmet named Viper spits a corrosive poison. And then he later had a tanker truck that transformed him into an assault installation and Armin Command Center. A lot of the same stuff. You got to remember, Miles for Venom stole a bunch of the technology from Mask, so a lot of their stuff is very similar. That made it very easy for them to make the cartoon and the toys. That was later on. Then you had the assault jetpack that he had, and the helmet named Ripper. He had Buzzard, which is a Formula One car that split into a drone-controlled jet and two smaller assault motorcycles that Miles could control along with his brother Maximus, who was later introduced in Season 2. Right? When was Maximus introduced? I want to say it was Season 2. Yeah, Season 2. Season 2 for sure. Yeah, that's basically it. So the toys, you can look them up. If you just type in mask toys, you probably want to make the actual acronym, so M.A.S.K.toys. Or even if you YouTube, you can watch probably a whole episode or 7 or 12 or, I don't know, 75. But yeah, check it out. It's pretty fun. If you like G.I. Joe, you would definitely like Mask. It was roughly the same show, just slightly less army-based and more... it was very much action-packed, but there's... all the shows that I'm talking about this month are most likely going to be... I'm only talking about four, but most likely you've heard all four of these shows before. So I'm not going to be talking about, and some of you might have never heard of Mask, but now you have. But yeah, so that's really it for this episode's subject. So remember, this week or this month, we're doing awesome cartoons with awesome toys. And today's episode was about Mask, not the Jim Carrey comedy, but the action cartoon from the mid-80s and the awesome toys from around the same time. But that's it for that. As for stuff I'm reading, like I was last week, I finished the Clive Barker book, Hellbound Hearts. Super fucked up book. Ended pretty much the way I thought it was going to. And I don't remember too much about the movie, which I need to watch still. I was going to watch it, and then some other stuff got in the way, which we'll talk about what other got in the way tomorrow's episode, or the Friday's episode of the main podcast with Joe and Mike. We'll be talking a little bit about the show The Haunting of Hill House, the show on Netflix, which is super fucking good, and y'all should watch it. We'll talk about that tomorrow on tomorrow's episode that you will get on Friday. So Friday's episode, the one we record tomorrow, which is actually recording today when you're listening to this, because this comes out on Wednesday and we record on Wednesday. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I finished Hellbound Heart. I need to rewatch Hellraiser, and I'll probably do that, and then I'll talk about it on there too. But then I started the new Stephen King book that just came out on the 30th, which I don't think I talked to anyone about last week because I didn't start it yet. Very un-Stephen King book in a way, but very Stephen King in another way. It's not a horror book or a psychological mind fuck in a way. It's a very emotional book. It's a very interesting premise. I will tell you a little bit about it right now. So in the story, the main character is afflicted with this mysterious disorder that changes his body's effect on gravity. So as becomes more powerful, he starts to physically weigh less because his body is less and less attached to gravity as we know it on Earth. So he looks exactly the same. He looks like the older man with a paunch belly who weighs roughly about 240 pounds. But if he were to stand on a scale, he actually weighs drastically less and less and less and less every day as it goes on. And then it's basically about him dealing with this, as well as living in the quaint little town of Castle Rock. I believe it's Castle Rock, Maine, is where they actually it takes place. Which, if you don't know, Stephen King's very big on connecting a lot of his stories in the same shared universe or kingdom, as a lot of people call them. Castle Rock is a very frequent town outside of or in Maine, along with like Derry, Maine. And a couple other places that are in Maine. But Castle Rock plays a big point. They just made the Castle Rock TV show, which got greenlit for a second season because the first season was really good too. But it all takes place in there. That's where Shawshank Prison is at. That's where Needful Things takes place. It's where a lot of stuff goes on too. I can't remember the other one that's there. That's main there. Dead Zone, I believe, is in Castle Rock. There's a couple other ones that take place there too. But anyways, it's an interesting one. If you do the audiobook, so I always talk about this. Again, they're not a sponsor on here. Well, fuck, they wish they were. Amazon on the Kindle. If you ever see pictures of my rooms in my house, especially the one I'm sitting in right now, it was jam-packed full of fucking books and comic books and video games and movies. There's just no room for anything. So I've, a couple years ago, completely gone over, for the most part, solely to digital books. But Amazon has the Kindle, which my Kindle sitting right next to me, my Kindle Paperwhite, which I read on all the time, which doesn't need, it needs a charge. It reminds me I should plug it in tonight. Anyhow, that service is really good. Books are really cheap, way cheaper than physical books are, drastically cheaper than hardcovers are, which I prefer because they look better on a shelf and they hold their form better than paperback. Plus, paperback comes in weird sizes, and for the most part, all hardcovers come in roughly the same physical size. Anyhow, they have a thing called Whisper Sync, who I've talked about on this podcast and we've talked about on the main podcast, that allows you to simultaneously read and listen and keep your place on both of them. So when I'm in my car on my long drive to work, to and from work, I like to listen to the books, and then I like to, if I'm really into the book, I will read them on my Kindle. I only read one book at a time. I know Joe has talked about reading multiple books. I can't do that because I get absorbed in books, especially if they're really good. So I don't like to read or listen to multiple things. So I pretty much read one at a time. One of the reasons I can burn through books so quickly, which is why I always have so many books to talk about. But the hiccups all of a sudden. So if you do the audiobook or if you do the Whisper Sync, you actually get two stories. And this is one of the times where Stephen King actually does the audio narration for the book. And if you read the, if you do the digital, I'm sorry, hiccups. Oh, good Lord. You get Elevation, which is the main book. And then the audiobook adds in another one called Lori. And Lori is a short story he wrote. It's about an old man and a puppy. It's a really good read. Both of them are really fun. Well, I should say Lori is a fun listen because it's not part of the... at least my Kindle version of it didn't have it in there. But all of a sudden, the end of the audiobook, I'm finishing it and I'm crying because the ending is both sad and happy. Mostly a combination of both. I can't say it's one over the other. Then it comes on as a... He reads Lori as this other book, and it's actually really good too. So if you are a Kindle reader and you have never tried Whisper Sync, I highly recommend it. It costs a little more to do them both, but it's drastically cheaper than buying audiobooks. Good Lord, I'm so sorry about the hiccups. I can't seem to control them. Control my breathing while I'm talking. So if you check it out, it's pretty awesome. There again. But yeah, you get the second book in there too. And I think the total price for Elevation, which I think is still on sale for the digital, the Kindle book, for like an extra $7.99 or $6.99, something like that, you can add the Whisper Sync audiobook narration, and you get both stories. That's all I'm trying to get at. While I'm trying to control my out of the blue hiccups that I got. But since I have hiccups, good God, the kid won't go away. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. Again, we're talking about awesome cartoons that have awesome toys. And we talked about masks today. And I gotta stop recording so I can get rid of these fucking hiccups before they kill me. God damn it. I'll talk to you guys next week. As usual, let's be awesome.